Speculations. I saw that some have excused themselves from aiding the cause of God because they were in debt. Had they closely examined their own hearts, they would have discovered that selfishness was the true reason why they brought no free will offering to God. And some will remain in debt. Because of their covetousness, the prospering hand of God will not be with them to bless their undertakings. They love this world better than they love the truth. They are not being fitted up and made ready for the kingdom of God. If a new patent passes through the country, men who profess to believe the truth have found a way to raise means and join the enterprise. God is acquainted with every heart. Every selfish motive is known to him, and he suffers things to arise to try the hearts of his professed people, to prove them and develop character. In some instances, the Lord will suffer men to go on and meet with an entire failure. His hand is against them to disappoint their hopes and scatter what they possess. Individuals who have really felt an interest in the cause of God and have been willing to venture something for its advancement will find it a sure and safe investment. Some will have 100-fold in this life and, in the world to come, life everlasting. But all will not receive their 100-fold in this life because they cannot bear it. They would, if entrusted with much, become unwise stewards. The Lord withholds it for their good, but their treasure in heaven will be secure. How much better is such an investment as this? The desire that some of our brethren possess to earn means fast leads them to engage in a new enterprise and invest means, and their expectations of making money are not realized. They sink that which they could have spent in God's cause. There is an infatuation in these new enterprises. And notwithstanding these things have been acted over so many times, and the example of others is before them who have made investments and have met with an utter failure, yet they are slow to learn. Satan allures them on and makes them drunk with anticipated hopes. When these hopes are blasted, they suffer many discouragements in consequence of their unwise adventures. If means are lost, the person looks upon it as a misfortune to himself, as his loss. But he must remember that it is the means of another that he is handling, that he is only a steward, and God is displeased with the unwise management of that means which could have been used to advance the cause of present truth. The unfaithful steward must give an account of his stewardship at the reckoning day. I was shown that the Spirit of God has had less and less influence upon R, until he has no strength from God to overcome. Self and self-interest has been prominent with him for some length of time. Pride of heart, a set, unsubdued will, and unwillingness to confess and yield his wrongs have brought him in the dreadful position he is in. Long has the cause been injured by his injudicious course. He has been exacting, which has encouraged a spirit of fault-finding in the church. He has been severe where it was uncalled for, and has lorded it over those upon whom he dared to exercise authority. His prayers and exhortations have led the brethren to think he was a devoted Christian, which has prepared them to be affected by his wrong course. He has been notional, and his oddities have had a bad influence upon the minds of many. Some have been so weak as to imitate his example. I saw that he had done far greater injury to the cause than good. Had he received the instruction given of God and been corrected, he would have obtained the victory over these strong habits and besetments. But I saw that he had so long let these habits control him, the strong foe has bound him. His deal has not been correct. Dishonesty has been gaining upon him, and he has taken means from the treasury that he had no right to, and has used it to his own advantage. He has considered that he had better judgment in disposing of means than his brethren. If means were put in his hands to be applied, and the giver named the individuals who were to receive it, instead of carrying out the wishes of the giver, he has acted from impulse, disregarding the wishes of the giver, taken the liberty to apply means to suit himself, and has applied what portion of it he saw fit to his own benefit. These things God has frowned upon. A dishonest course has been gaining upon him. He has considered that he was the Lord's steward and could apply the means, even of another, as he saw fit. Every man is to be his own steward. He has rejected the counsel and advice of his brethren, gone on in his own strength and followed his own will, and every means whereby he could be corrected, he has rejected. When he has been reproved, the manner or the person has not suited him, and the way has been closed up for reform. The Lord has not accepted his labors for some length of time. He has labored much more for his own interest than for the interest of the cause. As he first goes to a place, his prayers and exhortations have effect, and brethren receive the idea that he is a perfect Christian. But as they have become acquainted, how have they been disappointed to witness his selfishness, fretfulness, harshness, and oddities? Almost every day some peculiar notion is seen. His mind is almost constantly occupied fixing up something for his own advantage. He is favored because he is considered a messenger. Then he will dispose of it to someone to good advantage to himself and fix again. His fixing and planning has had a withering, blighting influence upon the cause of God. His course is calculated to tear to pieces, and it is wounded almost everywhere. What an example to the flock! He has been very selfish in his deal, and has taken advantage of those with whom he has dealt. God's frown is upon him. A good tree is known by its fruits.